In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look at the readings for today. The lesson of the Mass comes from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And whoever shall follow this rule, peace be to them in mercy, and upon Israel of God. From henceforth let no man be troublesome to me, for I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus in my body. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For he that will save his life shall lose it, and he that shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what doth a man profit, if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his own soul? Or what exchange shall a man give for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will render every man according to his works. This concludes the reading of the Holy Gospel. You may be seated. Today this Mass, as always, is being offered for those souls which are most lost here on Thursdays. Now, are you aware of the particular feast that we're celebrating today, the feast of the stigmata of St. Francis? St. Francis received the stigmata. He wasn't the first, as you will see from that first reading that we had there, and I want to draw attention to two things before I get into the feast. First, did you notice in the Gospel, and if you have your text in front of you in the Latin, did you see where the Gospel spoke about, use this word, patior? Did you hear me say that word, patior? Yesterday, remember, we talked about that word in the homily, meaning to suffer. That's what patience comes from. Patience comes from patior, is talking about suffering in there. So there it was within the Gospel. I'm not making this stuff up. Read it right there, and you'll see it all laid out for you in the Latin that's there. But today, as we go into... Oh, the second thing that I was going to bring up is that in that introit that we began the Mass with, the first words that I say as I go and approach the altar, the missal that is there, is taken from the Gospel, or taken rather from that first reading from Galatians, where it says, I bear within my own body the wounds of Christ, the marks of Christ, with his own flesh impressed into me. And that's what the stigmata is. And I want to give to you the account today that we have of the actual time when St. Francis received the stigmata. Not like, he wasn't like his son, which was to come later on in the 19th century, St. Padre Pio, who had the stigmata for 50 years of his life. St. Francis, the seraphic father, only had the stigmata in his flesh for 2 years, 2 years of his life, because he received it 2 years before his death. And here's the account of when that actually happened within his life. This man, St. Francis, who so conformed himself to the image of Christ, the crucified, that he was given the grace to bear his own wounds within his flesh. And here we go. It's written, 2 years before the faithful servant and minister of Christ, Francis, gave up his spirit to God. He retired alone into a high place, which is called Mount Alverna. And he began 40 days fast in honor of the angel St. Michael. The sweetness of heavenly contemplation was poured out upon him more abundantly than usual, till, turning with the flame of celestial desires within his breast, he began to feel the increasing overflow of these divine favors. When this seraphic ardor of his desire thus raised him to God, and the tenderness of his love and compassion was transforming Francis into Christ, the crucified victim, out of an excessive love for Christ. One morning, about the feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, which, by the way, is the 14th of September, just a couple days ago, so just 3 days ago, this is when this happened, he was praying on the mountainside, and Francis saw what appeared to be a seraph with 6 fiery wings coming down from heaven. Remember the seraph. The seraphim, those are the highest of the 9 choirs of angel, who are the ones closer to him. The seraph, the word means the burning ones, the burning ones. And that's why they have the 6 wings which cover all their bodies so that they may not be burned by the fire of God, being so close to him, the closest creature that is able to come to God. Continuing on with the account of the stigmata. And then appeared a seraph with 6 shining and fiery wings coming down from heaven. The vision flew swiftly through the air. And approached the man of God, Francis, who then perceived that it was not only winged, but it was also crucified. For the hands and feet were stretched out and fastened to a cross, while the wings were arranged in a wondrous manner, 2 being raised above his head, 2 outstretched in flight, and the remaining 2 crossed over, veiling the whole of his body. As he gazed, Francis was so much astonished, and his soul was filled with mingled joy and sorrow. The gracious aspect of him who appeared in so wonderful and loving a manner rejoiced him exceedingly, while the sight of his cruel crucifixion pierced Francis's heart with a sword of sorrow and compassion, sharing in the suffering of that seraph who suffered just as his Lord. He who appeared outward to Francis taught him inwardly that although weakness and suffering are the incomparable with this mortal life of a seraph, yet his vision had been shown to him to the end that he was Christ's lover, might learn how his whole being was to be transformed into a living image of Christ crucified, not by martyrdom in his flesh, which, if you know the life of St. Francis, all he wanted to do was to go south to the Moors, to the Muslims, so that he could die the martyr's death. That was his desire. But God didn't want it. And even though he came face to face with the greatest of the Muslim heretics, who was there, a great warrior, and tried to convert him, hoping that he would sever his head from his body or torture him in some other manner, he saw that he was almost converted to this faith in Christ. And then, after chastising him a little and respecting him greatly, sent him back to Italy, where he would not suffer martyrdom. Continuing with the story, though, he said, though he being a lover of Christ, he learned how his whole being was to be transformed into a living image of Christ crucified, not by martyrdom in the flesh, but by the burning ardor of his soul. After a mysterious and familiar colloquy, meaning a prayer, that he shared with the Lord in that beautiful exchange of speaking to the Lord, the vision then disappeared, leaving the saint's mind burning with this seraphic, that word means seraphim, like pertaining to seraphim, that's what the word seraphic means. So the seraphic ardor and his flesh impressed with an exact image of the crucified, as though after the melting power of that fire, it had been stamped with a zeal. For immediately, the marks of the nails began to appear within his hands and within his feet, and their heads showing in the palms, his hands, and the upper part of his feet, and their points visible on the other side. So he actually was seen to have nails going through him, not just the wounds, but actually had nails coming out of him. Incredible. Incredible. There also was a red scar on his right side, as he had been wounded with a lance from which so often blood flowed and stained his tunic and all his underclothing. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. That not only did he receive the stigmata, which many saints have seen, but actually he was seen to have had the physical nails coming out of him, the heads being seen on this side, and the points pointing forth on the other side, immediately after the event of the stigmata. Also an aside, when you look at the early images of the life of St. Francis, which you can go and see in his cathedral, the Cimabue, which is on the under part of the basilica there in Assisi, you can see that that painting, which is believed to have been painted, or fresco, been seen to be painted during his lifetime, which is why it looks exactly like we believe that he looked like. It even shows that movement there on his right side, where it breaks away from his clothing to show that he had the scar on his side, as well as hands pierced there. So this isn't something that was made up later. This is something that was known to have occurred during his last 2 years of life, which is when this Cimabue image was thought to have been put together. Continuing on, Francis, now a new man, honored by this new and amazing miracle, and by a hitherto unheard sacred privilege, adorned with this holy stigmata, came down the mountain with the image of the crucified, not carved in wood or stone by the hand of an artist, but engraved upon his flesh. But engraved upon his flesh by the very finger of God. The seraphic man knew well that it is good to hide the secret of the king. Wherefore, having been thus admitted into the king's confidence, he strove as far as he could to conceal these sacred marks from anyone, lest they should be seen. But it belongs to God to reveal the great things which he himself has done. And hence, after impressing these signs upon Francis in secret, he publicly worked miracles by means of them, revealing the hidden and wondrous power of the stigmata by the signs wrought through those marks. Pope Benedict XI willed that this wonderful event, which was so well attested in the pontifical diplomas, has been honored with the greatest praises and favors, should also be celebrated every yearly on a solemnity within the Franciscan calendar. Afterwards, Pope Paul V, desiring that all the faithful should be enkindled with the love of Christ who is crucified, extended the feast to the entirety of the Church. So what do we find within this? What do we find within this miracle of the stigmata? St. Paul also, as you hear there, that he bore the wounds of Christ within his own flesh, is believed also to have had the stigmata as well, bearing them in his flesh, not just talking about it in a mystical way, but in this physical way. Throughout the centuries, many saints, in fact, not so many that you couldn't be able to count them on your fingers and toes and maybe a few elsewhere, but a number of saints have had the stigmata either in part or in full in this way. Not as something which is to be greatly striven after, because it is greatly painful. It's not just the wounds that are shown there, but also it's a sharing in the exact sufferings which our Lord had, Realize that our Lord only had to endure them for 6 hours upon the cross. The saints who bear these things endure them for the rest of their lives until the Lord takes them home to heavenly bliss, or until he removes the stigmata from their person. Our Lord doesn't desire you and me to live lives where, as the Protestants often point out falsely, that we should be healthy, should be wealthy, and that we should be wise. God doesn't desire that his servants, who he loves, to have lives that are totally okay, without any distress or anxiety, without any hardship in any way. Our Lord, indeed, with the ones who he loves, desires to impress a special closeness to his very nature, which is what? The moment of his glorification. St. John, in his gospel, talks about the second part, the most important part of his gospel, the part which is dealing specifically with his journey to the cross. He talks about that as the book of, quote, glory. Book of glory, why? Because he says this is the very act by which Christ glorified himself. You and I, when we think about glory, we think about amazing experiences. We think about being raised up in some sort of way, having this joy that pervades everything that is that we do, a smile which just radiates from who we are, these great consoling feelings. But that's not the way that God sees glory. God sees glory in the midst of suffering, in the midst of enduring trial, in the midst of physically bearing wounds and these sufferings in this way. And so too, as our Lord desires to glorify each of us who are gathered here and all those who are following in the pattern of Christ, not by some sort of mystical experience that makes us feel warm and fuzzy. Those are good in beginnings, but the real glorification is when we share within the wounds of Christ, when he invites us to be friends. To be friends of the crucified. I'll end the homily here, but I'll encourage you to read the reflection that I wrote that comes out coincidentally, not really, providentially, today within the Fort Sumner paper, which covers this in greater detail. Our Lord desires not just St. Francis, not just St. Rita, not just St. Padre Pio and many of these other great saints who share within his blessed stigmata to share within his physical sufferings, but he desires you and me. And it is thereby in sharing with his sufferings, becoming friends of the crucified king, that we fill up that which is lacking in the suffering of Christ in our own flesh through our willing participation in what he lays before us, that he seeks to bring us not to a glory which corrupts and fades within this life, but to an eternal glory, just like this holy seraphic father, St. Francis, received from the vision that we celebrate this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.